left. Took a vehicle and got to the airport. Everything went smooth, no problems, thank God. And we were out for a total of about 7 weeks. Ministered about 41 times in 7 weeks. So the equivalent of, we did the calculation. I forgot how much, pretty much I preached what I would preach in about 2 to 3 months here. I preached it in 7 weeks. It would have been about 43, 44 service times, but there was a few times where I had gotten sick and I couldn't preach, and there were some other different arrangements that had to take place. But God was still with us. Amen. Now, out of all of those 41 times, all of them were not services at church. There were some times where I had preached on the radio. They took me to a TV station to preach as well. So I was live on TV in Honduras. They have some brothers there have a TV program. And so I was on, I preached there for an hour. And, but I mean, it's just like preaching. I mean, you get into it. I mean, you're just preaching. And then two of those times as well, I was interpreting for a brother here from the United States, Brother David Nash, who was there helping preaching at the youth camp that we were ministering at there in Honduras. So Lord helped us and protected us. Nothing really you know, hurt us as far as you know, any major things, you know, to take place. You know, we got sick a few times, fever. My wife about cut her finger off, but God healed that finger already. So, and a few little things here and there, but the Lord was with us overall. And I could see, you know, and I'm getting ready to come to the pictures and videos, but I could really see the hand of the Lord throughout this trip. My whole purpose for this trip was, throughout the years, there have been several invitations for me to go and also to help hold youth camps in different places. Of course, when 2020 came in and we never got to go, and so a lot of those invitations were being stacked. and so there was different plans that I had made with several of the brethren down there, and so we wanted to fulfill those plans. We wanted to do that. And one of the main things that I wanted to do was visit some of these little places that churches that don't hardly ever get visited. As a matter of fact, in one of them, in one of the places that we visited in Honduras, they have never had a minister or a preacher from outside of Honduras visit them at all. Hardly anybody, and even in Honduras, knew that church existed. And so supposedly I was the first person from the United States to go visit that church. And so they were very, very, they were so thankful, you know, for you to have taken your time to go visit them. The pastor, he's been pastoring there since 1974 or 76, something like that. Just as long as Brother Dale has been pastoring. And he's 60 something years old. And, I'll show you the pictures later, but he's the song leader there. He takes up the offering. He preaches. He's the deacon. He's everything. He has hardly no help whatsoever. The majority of the people that go to his church are sisters, and he only has like two or three men there that, so he does just about everything, and he's been like that since 1970 something. So, and so, you know, just for you to just stop by to see him. So, the brother that took me up that way, they're starting to try to get more fellowship with him now. And with the church, so that there can be a better connection and get, you know, more ministers coming in there to help them out. But if we had not gone there to visit them, that wouldn't have been done. And so, we just thank God for that. But I wanna see if wanna start off maybe if Bella could come, and she's gonna testify. Zoe, do you wanna come with Bella? You can stand here. No? Okay. All right, so just come, Bella. And she has a few words.
So first off, I'd really like to thank Poppy and Nanny for letting us go. Brother Wade, thank you for letting us go. It was truly an amazing experience. Our main objective of this trip was to, of course, win souls to the kingdom of God, teach people about the Lord. But one thing that I definitely kept in mind the entire trip was once I got there, I was no longer American. I became part of these people. I didn't want to be treated as if I were this sort of royalty. I wanted to be treated as if I had lived there my entire life. And I think that having that kind of mentality really helps shape what happens during this trip. And so during this entire trip, I really wanted to bond with the people, to understand them, to learn how they lived. And it is very obvious that the way they live is completely different to how we live, and you'll soon notice that in the pictures. But even though they don't have all of the commodities that we have here at home and everything that helps us be comfortable, they are still genuinely happy. Amen. And there are homes that I've been to that don't even have electricity, and yet there they are still smiling and thanking God for everything they have, and I thought that was quite amazing. I was able to meet multiple people, multiple youth. I made many friends that I love and cherish, and they send greetings to all of you. They were so excited to know that I spoke Spanish because they thought that would be a problem. And for a while, they didn't talk to me. But once that wall was taken down, I was able to create relations with them, their families, and get to know them. And they are such wonderful people. And I think that if you were to meet them, you would just get along with them so well. And I just felt at home. I did get a small injury. I got a burn while helping repair a sister's stove. And it took a while to heal up, but thankfully I just have a scar there. It's completely gone. I think that I've been able to really open up my perspective throughout this trip, and I'm really glad I was able to go. The Lord really worked through this trip, and I think that it was definitely something that really will I'll never be able to forget. Just before I finish, there are a few things that I think I definitely missed due to the difference in how different their lives were. I think one thing that I definitely missed was high-speed Wi-Fi. We rarely ever had high-speed Wi-Fi, so we were all kind of connected to this one hotspot that ended up cutting off for a good 4 weeks. And we were surviving on very slow internet, so that was great. That made school much easier. I think another thing that I also missed was flushing toilets. And I know that seems very outlandish, but it was something that I did miss. Dragging water up and down all the time was just very uncomfortable, but I gained some strength that I did not have when I left. air conditioning in general, just the things that I have here at home that I never noticed before. But most of all, I think we missed you all. You guys are all our family. We see all of you as our aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, and sisters, most of all. And I think that we're so glad to be back home. Even though it was such an amazing trip and it was such a great experience, there's really no place like home. God bless you.
Thank you, Bella. Appreciate that. Yes, I could say that I miss, one of the things I miss is flushing toilets as well. I tell you what, saints, and I know some of you older saints, you all had the outhouses here at one point and everything like that, but people over there still live that way. I mean, you have to go to an outhouse to go to the toilet. And I mean, you just see that hole in the ground and that's it. You got that steam coming up and it's not fun. But if you did see, you know, in some places, and I'll show here in just a moment, if you could just at least go in an outhouse and there's a little commode there, even if it doesn't flush. I mean, the commode might be wet and stuff and things like that. Man, that was wonderful. Cause you could at least take a bucket and flush that way, you know? But I mean, you can't do anything with a hole in the ground. In several places it had to be that way. There was no other option. But so it's just the things that we take for granted, you know, things that we take for granted. And to them, it's just a normal thing, you know, it's just everyday life. You know, this is how we live. This is how it is. So it's awesome to see, like she said, to see both sides of the world, because both sides of the spectrum, because it helps you to, be more thankful, you know, helps you be more thankful. So if the brother can bring up the first picture, and I'm just going to give you all a warning. I don't want to keep you all here too long this afternoon. I don't want that, but I'm not going to get done with this. This is only just even a portion of where we went. So maybe there'll be another part two at another time, of the rest of the trip. But we could just go ahead and start. And what I did is I tried to take the pictures in sequence, you know, in order of events of what was taking place, as well as while I was away up in the mountains, and what was happening, what was Bella, Zoe, and Christine doing while I was away, because they were doing ministerial type of things as well, while I was up there in the mountains, you know, preaching and things like that. So if the brothers could bring it up, we have a problem. All right. We appreciate it, Brother Anderson and Richard. Yes. All right. Look how nice and bright it is. As a matter of fact, can I turn off the light, Brother Way? It just looks much better with it. Is it? Don't fall asleep. I hope not. I got, that's it. All right. So this is the day when we were flying out. And so I don't know who these people are, but go ahead next. this is a view of the, from the plane when we were heading out. Next. All right. Thank you, Brother Wade. I was over there and I was going to do that, but I thought, no, that's okay. That's fine. Bella and Zoe on our way over there. Next. All right. Next. It's an island there. All right. So when we got there to Honduras, we left, November 30th. We left at, I forgot what time we left. It was real early in the morning, and we got there around noon, and so we were very hungry, and so that is, brothers took us to eat some fish and plantains, and it was quickly devoured. You know, at this restaurant where they took us, you know, you would see the rats, you know, crawling up in the rafters and stuff, and the roaches, but that didn't matter. That doesn't matter when you're hungry. Yeah. It doesn't matter where you're hungry. I don't know where they even had that fish, but when you're hungry, you're hungry. Next. We just prayed over it. Listen, that's what we pray for our food, right? All right, that's what we pray for our food. Now, this is this right here on the all the way up to the right. That's Brother Eric. Brother Eric Gallo. This is his wife, Sister Rebecca. This is their son. This is a brother from their church. Brother Eric is the brother that we help support here and that we've sent. Do you remember when we sent money for the truck? That's right. The tires? That's Brother Eric. He's the one that picked us up from the airport and, he took us many of the different places where we went and, but he is a pastor there, in Talanga, Honduras, and now he's taken over another church there where the pastor had left and, So now he's I could tell, you know, you pray for him because the work there has become very stressful, you know, for him, you know. But his heart for the people is so great. I mean, the way he deals with the people, you can tell that he's, you know, he's stressed, but yet he doesn't show it. I mean, he just tells me, you know, hey, listen, I'm dealing with this, you know, you just pray for me, but he still, you know, just doesn't show it and just tries. And, I guess that's part of being a pastor. I mean, Brother Dale would know. Yeah. And, you know, dealing with people isn't easy. they all come with different walks of life and, they have the same battles there that we do here. So next. There we are. This is at the place where we were eating at the restaurant. This is one of the lakes. There's a big lake over there. And, I forget the name of the lake. Can't remember the name of the lake right now. Next. Alright, that's the lake over there. And just right below here are the rats. Next. And the cockroaches too. Belle and Zoe with the fish. Next. Alright. So, when we got there November 30th, on December the 1st, is when we started, the youth camp that we were gonna have. Brother Eric was holding a youth camp, and, it was gonna be a 4 or 5 day youth camp. And, this is his church. This is his church there. The first service we started, it was on a Wednesday night. We started the service there. Brother David Nash preached, and actually we started back, on Wednesday, we started at the youth ground, but this was Thursday. And so we started it at his church. And, I think I don't know if this is a video. Oh no, this is a picture. Next. Several people from around, the country came to, in support of that youth camp. I don't know if there's volume. Brother David Nash, I believe he's from Washington State, and he's a pastor over there.
Ella viene a agarrar agua y comienza a hablarle a ella.
All right,
y le dice a ella, si tú supieras.
Okay, so this right here is where we actually held the youth camp, the youth event. And what happened is Brother Eric, this is a school that he works at. He pastors, but he also works. He's a teacher at a school. And they let him have that place. This is their courtyard, the school's courtyard. And they let them have that place for a very, very cheap amount. I mean, extremely, extremely affordable. And so this was the first service or second service. There at that campground or that area. Next. All right, here's some of the sisters. They were working, feeding, I would say maybe about 200 youth came out from different places. And, the sisters were very hard at work, and constantly fixing meals for them because it was 3 services a day. And so, pretty much, they would eat almost just about after every service. So, next. There's Zoe and me. Next. And there's Christine. She's helping them cook. And this is where she had cut her finger. So I thought, but I don't know what you were trying to cut. Sweetheart, and she cut part of her finger, and she did a pretty good cut on there. I mean, she said that thing just like flesh. I mean, just cut right through the flesh. But she's much better now, thank God. Next. All right, next. All right, this right here is Sister Edie's. And then Sister Edie's has a tremendous testimony. She was really, she's really wanting to have a, she has a daughter who's 10 years old, but she really wants a boy. So she had asked us ministers, you know, to pray for her, and she's believing that God's going to, you know, give her a boy, and that because they told her that, I believe they told her that she's had, or her husband has problems, you know, for them to be able to conceive again. So, but she has a background where her mom left her when she was 15 years old, and she became pretty much a street girl. And she's had, in her testimony, she tells about having a man just chasing her down the street, wanting to rape her. And if there wasn't for some police that she saw there, it wouldn't have been no telling what would have happened to her. She used to work in a landfill, and she has seen in the landfill where they've come upon bags, and there'd be dead babies in the bags. One of the worst ones they found was a big bag, and it was about a 9-year-old girl that was in the bag. And so people just, they commit, do atrocious things, and they just throw them out in the landfill, you know. And they come out. So she was telling me about that, her testimony, and through that, through those things that she was seeing as she was growing up, she wasn't serving the Lord at that time, but it made her think. She said, when I have a child, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep the child, because her first child was with a person that wasn't, he impregnated her and left her. I think he lives here in the States now somewhere, but never has seen the girl as far as I know. And she said she had a choice to keep the child or not. And she decided to keep the little girl. And the little girl's 10 years old now. We gave her some, a little offering money, because she said she wanted to buy her little girl a new dress. And so some of that money that you all provided, which we thank you all for, helped her buy her a little dress. I think some shoes and things like that. And, we gave her actually a little bit more, and she was really thankful for that. So y'all pray for Sister Edie's. Next. All right. This is that's Brother Eric on the right, me, Brother Eli, and Brother Allen. Brother Allen, he's from Nicaragua. And the other two brethren, they're in Honduras. They're all ministers. Pastor, Brother Eric, and these brothers do mission work. So they're very in tune with the areas that we went to. Just young brothers, you know, and that's what they do, you know, just evangelism and mission work. Next. All right. And so here's again, one of the days there at the youth camp, and I was there interpreting for Brother David Nash. Next.
All right.
This is me now preaching on the first time I was preaching here at the youth. Brother Dale, everywhere we went, your greetings went to everybody. We always made sure that Brother Dale, Brother Samuel Dale, sends his greetings, and the church in Lula, Georgia, sends their greetings, and they always send their greetings back. So what you do is we tell them how many sends their greetings back, and they're like, "Amen." So. All those amens come back to you all. As a matter of fact, I was in there and one of the brothers was telling me, please tell the church we say hello and Lord bless you all. So, next. All right, this is one of the evenings. Bella, she's playing the violin. Very talented musicians, and the majority of them are young people. All right, next.
Green light. Red light. Me llamo. Red light.
Something's happening. I don't remember what this one was. Next. All right, so this is one of the altar calls. And so we would just go up front. Several young people that would go up after services and they wanted to accept the Lord, wanted the Holy Ghost. And so we would just pray with them, you know, and my whole point with them is because I wanted them, when I would pray for them and I would explain to them, listen, don't come up and then come back again tomorrow night and you know, take what's yours now. God wants to give it to you. So just receive it. It's yours. And that was my whole point that I was trying to get across to them. That because they feel like they have to do that. It's like they feel like they have to put some part of it in themselves in order to appease God. It's almost like a Catholic mentality. But when you give them the word and tell them that God is a God of now, you know, that God wants to give it to you more than even than what you're asking for. You know, it's already there for you. He's already done it. Then it gives them a sense of liberty, you know? And so, next. There's some of the young people worshiping. Next. And this is some of the young brothers after one of the services. And they were always playing the guitar, singing. Just very happy. Alright, next. Alright, and here's some of the sisters. Now, this is Sister Hannah. Is it Hannah? And she's Brother David Nash's niece. And she was there. She's from Washington State. And she studied Spanish. So she spoke very good Spanish. And on one of the nights, I think it was the last night of that youth event, they had me go up with her because she wanted to give a testimony and she wanted to thank everybody about the wonderful time, everything that had taken place. And so I stood there next to her and she was reading her, what she was going to say, but she was reading it in Spanish. And I didn't have to interpret not one thing for her. She said it so good and then she said, thank you all very much. God bless you all. And I just stood there with the microphone in my hand. And then I just looked at the congregation and I just said, so she did a really good job. Next. All right. This right here is Bella and Zoe, singing a special. This is the song, what song is this? This is the goodness of God, but she's singing it in Spanish. Okay. Next. All right, here's some of the sisters. They got their hair nets on. Christine. It looks good on her, doesn't it? They were just busy. They were constantly busy. The sisters didn't really even get to go to the services because they're just constantly there cooking for the young people. Next. After the event, they were... Go ahead, bro. After the event, they were properly acknowledged, you know. Because it couldn't be done without them either, you know. This is Christine. She would gather a lot of the young people, and they would sing specials together. And so they're singing "To God Be the Glory."
Yes.
Ya didn't know that Christine could sing in Spanish. She surprises me too. There's some of the brothers, they're just working hard. They're at the event. Next. All right, and here's some of the places where they slept. They didn't have nice bunk beds. They just had little mattresses. One thing that that was requested is that they want to be able to use the same... what they do is throughout all the youth events that they have in Honduras, they use those same little mattresses everywhere they go. And so this cover for the mattresses is coming off, and a lot of them. And so they were requesting a donation, you know, if we wanted to help get the covers back on them, because they want to keep using the same mattresses. And so since the mattresses are still in good condition, they can just still use them, but just have new covers on over them. So that was a request. And so a lot of the churches there are helping pitch in to get this going for these events. Next. All right, this is me. Sunday morning, which was the last service of the meeting, the last service of the meetings, and I was trying to explain to them how God comes to our level. He comes down to our level, and how we don't have to be afraid, you know. And I was given an example of a young brother, a brother there who's, while I was in the truck, you can pause it for a moment. I was there in the truck studying and just kind of looking over what I was going to preach. I was preaching about now we are the sons of God. And I looked over to my right and I saw this brother whose son, he did something, he hurt himself and he was crying and he went running to his dad. And his dad, what his dad did is, he didn't ask him what's going on, what happened, what's wrong. What he did is he got down to his son and just kind of hugged him. Didn't ask him, his first instinct was to just comfort him. And, as I was there in the truck, I was thinking, my goodness, that's what God does to us, you know? He doesn't scold us, he doesn't, you know, when you come to God and you're lost in your ways, you know, what he does is he came down to our level. Even when he came here on earth, he came down to your level. And that's what the Bible says, see, to experience what it was so that he can be the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmities. And so he experienced everything that you and I experience, and he understands. And so that's what I was trying to explain, get across to them. And to see the young people, these young people, when you preach to them, the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of what is the new birth, the simplicity of being born again, because the way it's preached to them, it just gets very difficult. It becomes almost like do's and don'ts, and that's all they hear, and they get slammed on top of the head, conked on top of the head a lot, you know, by the way they live and by the way they act. And when you bring it out and it from the scripture of what it is to be born again, what it is to receive the Holy Spirit, and it all goes back to the Word. A lot of them was like, wow, I've never heard of that before. So they were really, really, really touched by that. And I believe that some of them, I think God revealed the Word to them. And by some of the things that was expressed to me. Next. That's the same service. That now we are the sons of God. The Word of God says. And so, Brother Branham, I was reading them that quote about how the bride is to do is the voice in this last stage, and how she's to do the works. There was a work left for us to do in this hour. Next. All right. So, this right here is where the youth camp was held at, around this area. And so that's why I wanted to put the map up, as we were going through the images and videos. And then I'll interlace this map through there so that you can see where we were at and where the events took place. Next.
Right now we are on the road to Catacamas, or area in an area called Olancha. This is our precious brother Eli Acosta. He's a missionary and evangelist here in the country. A wonderful brother. There's Christine. That's his wife. Brother Lee's wife, Sister Lily. She's holding her little baby there. There's Bella and Zoe. Bella's asleep. Zoe over there. And we'll switch this around.
I just wanted to put these in here so that you all understand this is how we pretty much would ride everywhere we would go. Just crammed in there. They would try to take the most of every space available and try to take as many people with them as possible wherever. So this is where we were riding. We were riding to Catacamas, which was on the eastern part of Honduras there on the map. And, next. All right, and it was about a 2-hour drive from Talanga where the youth meeting was held, and then now we arrived that evening, and we were hungry, so we were looking for somewhere to eat, and as we were there, like the lights just go out, the lights in the city just go off randomly, and so it was you see how nice and bright it is there right now, but then all of a sudden, poof, power was out, and people were like, oh, the power went out again. But they know that in about 20, 30 minutes, it'll come back. And so power came back. And then you start hearing the generators running everywhere. Next. I'm not sure what this is. Next. All right. So the next day is when we were... This is where Christine and the girls stayed. This is the brethren that we made plans to go up to the mountains, up in an area called Los Angeles. Really, it's what it's called. I would tell the brethren and joke with them that, you know, we have Los Angeles too, and they know that. I said, but now this is a holy Los Angeles. This is much, the one we have over there is completely, it's gone. And they would just laugh about that. And of course, you know, that's where we get Hollywood and stuff. But see, these are some of the brethren that went up next. All right, this is about
out to Los Angeles, La Florida. Brothers are packing up.
This is about 5 a.m. And,
about 5 a.m.
We're getting ready to head on out. Next. All right. So we went up and met some more people there from brother, from the church, one of the churches there, some of the sisters, that they were going up as well. And from this point right here where we were at to where we were going to our destination up in the mountains, it was about a 4-hour hike. This is as far as the cars can come. The rest of it was going to be a trek on foot. Next. This is some of the places heading up there. Next. Kind of looks like some of the areas up here in the mountains.
We probably just walked out for about 35 minutes. Supposedly this is the horse I'm going to be riding.
I almost felt like we were one of those caravans coming into the United States, you know, from Honduras. They had the baby on. And this is kind of 30 minutes into already us walking. Next.
Just 35. We just met up with Brother Nathan.
All right. So we met up with the pastor that we were going to go up. He came down as we were coming up, and we met a certain way, and he brought down the horses. What they're doing is they're taking our bags and they're putting them in big sacks. And they're tying these sacks on the side, on the sides of the horses, so that'd be easier for us to get up there. As you can see, that's what they're doing there. This is Brother Natividad. He's the pastor up there. And he's just a rancher. He's just a farmer. Wonderful brother. Next. You just kind of get, this is me on the horse. And this is just kind of get a feel of what it was like going up. It was really rocky, and honestly, I did not even know how even that horse got up there, carrying 174 pounds on top of his back, which was me. And poor horse would get tired as well. There would be times where you'd be riding, and then all of a sudden he just stops, and I'm like. And then I'd hit it, and then he'd go a little bit more, and then he'd stop again. And then he's there, and then you'd hit it again, and then he'd just go, you know, he'd get upset, because you were telling them to move. Next. But I was on horseback for about 45 minutes or so, because afterwards my legs was killing me, just kind of get a view of where we were heading.
And I'm going to tell you, my legs are killing me right now.
Later on, a brother told me that that mules do a better job doing this. So some of the brethren, they have mules as well, but this is what they had provided at the time, just horses.
The horse sound that he normally make.
But these horses, they're very familiar with this way. They've already gone up and down so many times. So next. All right, and this is now we got to a little bit easier part. Just wanted to show y'all some of the views.
It's beautiful view.
Oh, it's just beautiful. And this is where some of these people live. And I would tell them when I would preach to them, there'd be people down here, you know, they would just love to just be able to live there or to at least see this. And to them it's just, you know, it's just normal, you know, it's just normal life.
It's been tough.
I was trying to tell them, don't take it for granted. There's people down there that would love to see this. You can turn it up a little bit here.
I'll tell you what, but if I wanted to lose weight, I probably already lost it now. this is rougher than what I thought it'd be. And I am so glad that Christine's, Bella, and Zoe did not come. On this trip, this is a bit tough. But it's so beautiful. So, so beautiful.
All right, so this is where we got to the brother's house, Brother Natividad's place. And they had a...
Gave us some water.
They had coffee ready for us. Oh yeah, they drink coffee. They'd rather drink coffee than water almost, you know, when you get to those places. So we were drinking coffee and just kind of show you my boots. And you have to go to those places, and this is how you have to walk, because this is the reason why.
I have no idea of how deep this mud is.
If you're not wearing rubber boots, you can't make it. It's hard. Some of these places, it just shows you how deep some of the mud is.
Trekking through. We're gonna go on our way to have a little service.
And some of these brethren do this all the time just to go to church.
Up in a home.
Just to go to church. They do this every Sunday, every time they have service.
This is what we have to cross through.
And Lord bless them for it.
This right here is their current.
All right, so this is This is Brother Natividad's place, and I gotta. This is his current church right here on the left, but they're building a new church because this place is getting very old. They're having to replace a lot of the boards on the church. This is their new little building that they're building, and just to let you all know, some of your funds went to go support that. Lord willing, they might have that building done by March, and they're going to have their service to dedicate the church. And they're going to use their old building, a place to have when they have big meetings, you know, and they have a place for people to rest, sleep, and things like that. But this is their current church right now. Some of you all help with the efforts for this church, and the brother Natividad was very thankful for that. All right, next. All right, this is Brother Natividad. That's the pastor, and he's carrying a. I'm not sure what the sack, what was inside the sack, but.
Walking up that mountain with that load.
The whole time. All right, next. By the way, pause it. Brother Natividad. What they do as far as electricity up there, they use solar panels because they don't have electricity running through there that goes up there. So what they do is harness electricity through solar panels. And the solar panels that the electricity that is gathered, it goes to a battery. And so the battery, it turns on, you know, their lights at night and things like that. They have one for the church and they have one for their homes. Now the brother Natividad, the battery for the church, it went out, so they needed a new battery. So we're in the process right now with some of the funds that you all gave to buy them a new battery right now. We're going to be sending them that money here shortly because we gave them part of the money while we were over there, but then we're sending the rest of it here next week actually. So just to get a feel of what, pretty much what we would eat, this is just chickens from their yard. They would always, one time, they killed 8 chickens in their yard just to give us chicken soup. And, it was really good. Next. Alright, so after all that long walk, four hours walking, this is me laying in a hammock. And the sister right here, she's actually washing coffee beans. Like what they do is they grow coffee in the area, and they produce their own coffee. They grow it, they toast it, everything, the whole process. They do it right there, and they go back down to the city 4 or 5 hours, and they sell it, and that's how they make some money. And then they come back up 4 or 5 hours. I also wanted to note that the brother's new church, all those bricks that you saw there. It had to be brought from all that way, multiple trips that they took, so they can build the church. So, more power to them, because I mean that's just become normal to them to just go up and down that stretch of through that way. Next, so yeah, it's nice. If you've never laid on a hammock before, oh my, it's. I don't recommend it to sleep all night in a hammock, but it's nice to lay there after a long hike. This is some of the areas up there. Next. Alright, here's some horses, and just get a little panoramic view of where we were at. This is after we left Brother Natividad's house. We were going up to the place where we were actually another brother's house where we were going to, that's where we were going to be sleeping at. And we were going to have service this evening. So after that long walk, they expected me. I was going to preach that night. They expected me to preach. and we did, thank God. Next. All right, this is the little house where we stayed at. King's house.
Over there in the blue shirt. The with the hat on.
And this is the brother. That's his home.
He's the assistant.
He has a three daughters and a son.
The house where we were just,
and this brother, he was just going. I mean, he wouldn't stop. Direction. He wouldn't stop. And
wonderful brother.
It's like I never saw him tired.
My goodness.
Never saw him tired. Look, brother Eliakim is his name.
This little place right here. Just.
All right, back in the place where we left the girls and Christine, they were doing homeschool. This is Zoe doing some of her work outside. Next. And some of the they would go out and next. Here's Bella, she's doing her schoolwork. Next. Bella helping cook, washing dishes. She's washing dishes. They don't have running water. Well, they do here, but they have to conserve as much water as possible. So they'll put some of that water in a pot, right? Next. All right, so this is that same evening back in the mountains.
The first service.
We're heading up to the church. We're going to hold a 3-day campaign. 3-day campaign. And the first meeting was going to be at this brother's house that they wanted to also dedicate. And so that's where we were heading up right here. It was probably about a 15-minute walk from the house where we were staying that I just showed you to that place. Next. But, you know, you have to go through all the mud and making sure your Bible doesn't fall. Oh, this is back down. Vegetables? Yes. Yeah, they grow beans. They grow different vegetables as well. This is Zoe. She's, these are green beans. Next. Next. All right, so this is the service that up there in the mountains in Los Angeles, that first night. Next, this is the brother's house. if you notice, there was a brother sitting up here in the corner. After I had preached that night, that brother had never been around message believers before. He'd always been to denominational churches, and he was well versed in the scriptures, And so after the service, I talked to him because I had mentioned about a prophet. I had mentioned, you know, I mentioned Brother Branham. I mentioned, you know, God sent a prophet in this day. And so he wanted to know what that was all about. And so I got to testify about him. I got to testify the message to him and gave him a church age book in Spanish. And so we're just trusting that the Lord is doing a work in his heart because he was very interested. And in what was being said. So, next.
Y hablar con hermanos y hermanas y compañeros en Cristo. Amén. Eso para mí es algo glorioso. Es mucho mejor que tener un buen carro, que tener una buena casa, que tener. Eso para mí, eso es glorioso. Porque cuando todo, hermanos, cuando el carro ya se dañe, cuando la casa ya
I was just telling them, you know, when your car is broken and when you. You know, it's much better to be serving the Lord than having a nice car and all these things. If you have God in your heart, you know. Next. All right, so this is Brother Eli. And so the reason why he's holding here two phones, and we had to get in certain little spots just to be able to get some signal, is because this is the brother that I would go to the radio station and to the TV station to preach with. So even though we were all the way up there, what they would do is the radio station would pipe in through WhatsApp. And so I would preach all the way from up there to other areas in that vicinity, and would preach the gospel, you know, for about 30 minutes, on the phone. So Next. All right, so this is the next day, and the brothers made a little tarp outside, and we had a service there that evening. Next. Go ahead, next, brother. Appreciate the brothers in the back. And just nice to be able to have the service was so nice right there in front of that view. It was beautiful. But that night we had a lot of rain. And so a lot of the people that were standing outside, they had to end up coming inside. And so we were crammed in and we were still getting wet because, I mean, the rain would get on the tarps and they'd get heavy and then just, so it was a, next. All right, this is towards the end of the service. I didn't preach that night. Brother Ali had preached that night. Next. All right, back down, back where the girls were at. They were still washing dishes. Next. And they were making them sweet too. Next. They would also get on top of trees, climb trees, and pick the fruit that was on the trees. I don't know exactly what the... Huh? Jujuga was the name of that fruit. And it was almost like a small pear. And it was good. Zoe fell off that tree. But she was okay. All right, so one of the mornings here... We got up. I got up. This is their kitchen. And this is what they had there. They were gonna have for lunch that morning. They had the chickens already killed. Look at those legs. It's not like chicken legs here. Those things were that is some tough meat. Because them chickens, you know, they're eating out in the yard and everything, and so they're much stronger and no hormones or anything like that. It was good. It was good flavored meat. It was just much, much tougher. So if you're used to eating KFC, you're going to think, oh my God, that's nasty. But it's much healthier. I could assure you that. All right, next. All right, this is back down where Christine and them were at. They were heading out that day. They were going to visit some people and also head to church that evening because this was on a Wednesday. You can keep playing it. Just kind of get an idea of what the area looked like in the roads. All right, next. All right, this is one of the sisters there that we had fellowship with. She's going to get married soon. Next. It's Bella sporting a new hat. She says she hated this picture, but I needed to put it in. Next. All right, so this is at the sister's house. This dog apparently loved Zoe so much. And when Zoe was leaving that day, the dog was like going crazy. He didn't want her to leave. I don't know. Like he took a love for Zoe, and apparently he loves children. And so he was barking and everything. I have video of that, but not here. But just wanted to point that out. Thought that was funny. Next. All right, that night they went to service, they went to church, and the brother that I was up with, up in the mountains, Brother Eli, the one that was holding the two phones, that's his dad. His dad was preaching there that evening at the church down in Catacamas. Next. next. And this is brother Margarito, the brother that ministered. Wonderful brother. We've had good fellowship with him. He's a pastor as well. Next. All right. This is back up in the mountains. And if you see this site here in a bathroom, it's a beautiful sight. This is a beautiful sight. This is wonderful. I mean, the floor might be dirty and then that toilet is wet, that toilet seat, but hey, just clean it up, just dry it up as good as can and have at it. Next. And you got nowhere else to go. All right. Sometimes you get so hungry, and there's so much chicken up there that everything seems to just be looking like chicken. This is a rock inside the ground. This is not a chicken leg. This is a rock, and we were walking, I happened to, I'm like, that looks just like a chicken leg. I had to take a picture of it. All right, this is the toilet again. Like I said, that's a beautiful sight to me compared to some of the other places we went. That last night there up in the mountains, we had a last service. More people came from different places. And this is Brother Natividad's church, the brother who's building the new church next to it. And we had service that night. I preached on blind Bartimaeus, and the people were just so blessed. We had a prayer line afterwards gave out a lot of the prayer cloths that we have here, there. And so, next. And you notice that a lot of the churches there, you know, they split the sisters. They have them sit on one side and then the brothers on the other side. And it's most of the churches, that's how they do it. Next. This is me there in the little study getting ready to come out. And I was just right above me, there was this light, because you know a lot of bugs come into the light and everything, and there was these little bees flying around there, and I was like, hurry up and call me, because I had them little bees flying around me, and I was doing my best to just stay concentrated on the word and what I was studying. But yeah, you had all these little bugs just flying around. Next. All right, this is me preaching. As you can see, I'm preaching with the muddy boots on, and that's fine. They expect that over there, you know. Next.
Amen. Mi fe en él. Satanás lo va a retar. El enemigo va a venir, lo va a retar a usted.
The enemy is going to come and try you. But if you have a true faith, a true faith will help you come out. Satan will use family, he will use friends, he'll use anybody to try to bring a stumbling block on you. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay with the word? Are you going to stay with what God said about you? Or are you just going to just hunker down and be a coward? And say, oh, poor me. I can't make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it. No, we're not the ones who go back. But we move forward. We continue moving to the saving of the soul. All right, next. And then afterwards, we had just me leading songs, a little song after the preaching. Next. All right, this is Brother Eliakim's family, the brother that we stayed in their house, and they send their greetings to you all as well. Next. This brother right here, this is his son, and just pause it for a moment. That they went to go hunt for wild hogs. That morning, they just go out and hunt wild hogs and deer and everything, and they could not catch a hog that day. But then they went the following day, but that was the day that we were going to go. We were leaving, and they caught a couple of deer, so they were going to give us some deer meat from up there. But we never got to eat any. But next. Like I said, they make their own coffee. And so that's them right there toasting the coffee beans. Everything they have to do by hand.
Trinidad's wife, she's here toasting.
Next. And then, you see how it's getting darker? And I never knew why coffee beans would get dark like that, but that's the reason why, is because of the toasting. They put sugar in it, and I asked her why did they do that, and she said it's to give it like a little caramelized look to it, but it's not to sweeten. It doesn't make the coffee beans sweet. Next. And then that's them getting ready to grind it. And they had me grinding as well. And I don't see how that sister could keep. I mean, that's tough. It's tough, but
she's getting ready to.
We brought some of that coffee, that batch right there that she's making right there. They gave it to me in a bag, and we brought it, and we've been drinking it. Next, you can see how it looks caramelized, like a little caramel. That's because of the sugar. And no. Well, I mean, it is burnt, but that's how they like it. All right, that's Brother Natividad's family. He has 13 children. This is just only some of them. You pray for this little boy because the other day he was holding a machete, and he fell down, and the machete went over to his eye, and almost took his eye out. He sent me the pictures, but he's getting better now. His eye puffed up. Luckily, the doctor said that he didn't lose his eye, so his eye's gonna get better. But it could have been worse than. Hit next. All right. Now we got. Give me another 10 more minutes.
So right now it's about.
All right. This is when we were leaving the mountain, and we're walking back down, trekking back down. Next. This is the. Yeah, I wanted to show that because we found this horse on our way, and it was what is that called when the Brandon, and the Brandon is Bella. So I thought that was funny. It is, but then it isn't. Actually, it's much trickier because now you're going down and you can slide much easier. And so, believe it or not, I was more sore going down than I was going up. So, on our way down, we found this little guy, and I don't know what it's called, but it apparently they just fall off the trees. And hopefully you're hoping that none of them falls off, because if they do, it's got a really powerful bite. But just keep playing it. The brother picks it up on the stick. I mean, look, it's feisty. And it's got like these red pads as their feet. And he picks it up and he starts showing it to us up close. And he holds it there, and then the brother Eli, he's like, okay, all right, don't get it too close now. But it's pretty, but apparently it's got a very powerful bite. Next. All right, so this is when we got home, back down to the where Christine and the girls were staying at. Next. Next. All right, so then that same day, I got cleaned up. We got cleaned up, and then quickly we had to leave out to go to our next area where we were going to preach, and that was about an hour and a half away in an area called Kulmi, and that's very typical. Just a lot of ranchers there. You see a lot of cows just walking on the roads. Next. Um, There's some of the motorcycles that are, that they use there a lot. Those are the motorcycles there, Sister Monica. We're talking about next. All right, this is one of the sisters, Sister Reina. She's one of the pastor's wife there in that area. Next, hardworking sister. You pray for her because she's been having health issues. On our way there, we stopped by the radio station, and I was there preaching on the radio. And then after here, we went to preach at the TV station. And then from there, I preached at the church that night. So preached three times that day. Next. All right, and this is on the way to the church. All right, this is me getting ready to come out. Now, I was already not feeling good. I was getting sick. This is where I started getting sick. Because when we all came down from the mountain, I don't know what it was, but a lot of the people that went up there, we came back down and got sick. We got fever, and so I was already starting to feel something there that night when I had to preach. And I was already getting feverish, but I just went ahead and preached anyhow. Next. And this is the service that night. Next. Brother Margarito's church. Sister Reina. Next. 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 All right, afterwards, people went up for prayer, and there we were given some of the prayer cloths to them that from here. And we were praying for the sister. I can't remember what it was that she was asking for. All right, next. And we're just praying for them. Next. Next. All right. So there in that area, in that house, in Brother Margarito's house, they have this parrot over there. And he's holding a piece of tortilla. They gave him a tortilla. And next. The beautiful bird. So the next day, after that service that night, the next day we had like a little mini service there at his house. And I was just, everything I could do to just stay, because I was already having a fever there. Next. And that evening, I was supposed to preach at their church. But that's the service that I didn't get to preach at because I was just so sick. I couldn't preach. Next. All right, there at the house, Bella was helping. They were helping fix one of the sisters' stoves. This is a little stove, and so they were using mud to help fix the stove.
Bella, you having fun?
Something that she needed to have done, and
it's Play-Doh.
So Bella took part in doing that.
What?
Next. All right, there's the parrot. He's eating cassava, yuca. Next. All right, and then we're going to have lunch. And they're... Now watch this, watch this. Y'all watch this. I didn't know this video existed until last night. We were looking at it, and I saw that. I was like, "We got to show them that." That was Christine and the sister. They were there plucking out the All right, so that day when I was feeling bad, I still told Brother Margarito, I said, yeah, let's go to the radio, let's preach, you know. But, I mean, you can already look, I was sick. And I was just trying to keep my word. It's what I told him I'd do next. But after we left here, we were going to the radio station. Just pause it for a moment. We were going to the radio station. I just had to tell Brother Margarito, I'm sorry. You're going to have to take it. I can't do it. And so he said, that's fine, brother. Don't worry about it. All right. While we were there in the city, Christine was with me, and we bought this sister a stroller. She that's her baby. She has Down syndrome. And she always, everywhere she goes, she's carrying her. And she's, how old is she, Christine? She's 6 years old. And so the girl has problems, and she's always, that sister's always holding her, carrying her everywhere. So we told her that we would buy her a stroller. And so we bought her a stroller, and that's us giving her the stroller there. Amen. She was so thankful for it too. Amen. Next. All right. Well, I'm going to stop it there. We'll do part two another time. It's getting late. We still have Nicaragua and Costa Rica. We're still in Honduras. But I appreciate all of their prayers. For the trip, there were many souls. I believe they were blessed. Yes. A lot of later on, I was getting, it was in this set of pictures. We were able to baptize 7 people. We originally it was going to be about 3 or 4 people that were going to be baptized, but as we were baptizing, some more people wanted to come and get baptized, and so it was just, we had a wonderful time. And then before we left to come back home to the States, in Costa Rica, 2 more brothers wanted to get baptized. And, we didn't get to baptize them, but, they got, that the word touched them so much that it led them to want to get baptized. They told the pastor there that they were really blessed with the word that I had preached there that night, and it really spoke to their heart, and it led them to baptism. Amen. You know, they wanted to get baptized. Sure. So there's another brother there that's going to be baptized, that be baptizing them, probably already has. So we just thank God for, because, you know, we just, all we do is just lay out the net, you know, that's all we can do, and let God do the rest. Amen. Amen. And when God does the work, He does it perfectly. Yep. When we try to do it, we might fail. It may hit and miss. But when God does it, it's always perfect. That's why us parents, you know, sometimes we just let's give our children to the Lord and let Him do the work. Amen. And He does it perfect. We thank God for your prayers. Thank God for all the donations. Thank God, Brother Dale. Thank you, Sister Peggy, for everything and that you all done. And we just appreciate each and every one of you. So let's stand to our feet. Lord willing, we'll do a part two maybe next time. Next Sunday afternoon? Okay. All right. So we'll continue on our trip.
Amen.
I hope you enjoyed that. I hope it wasn't... I don't... Like I said, that is just only a little minute portion of all the pictures. It's over 5,000 pictures and videos. And that's only 187. And we didn't even hit all the 187 because, you know, you want to comment and you want to, so, you know, but I wanted to just bring it as to bring you all there to the experience as close as we could. Not just showing a PowerPoint presentation and, you know, just showing you pictures and this is what I felt. This is what we saw. And, so thank you all for everything. So. Brother, we have a song. And like I said, Bella said, you know, we missed you all. It's not the same without your church family. We missed, but at the same time, it was bittersweet coming back. You know, you wanted to come back, but at the same time you didn't because we were getting accustomed. But, Hi, anybody have need of prayer?
You're
more than welcome to pray.
There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save.
Send the light. Send the light. Send the light. The gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Since I heard that song, that's, I like that song. Amen. Send the light. We are the people of the light. Amen. We're not the people of the night. We're the people of the light, right, of the day. Right. Amen. So wherever you go, doesn't have to be Honduras, doesn't have to be Nicaragua, doesn't have to be Philippines, doesn't have to, right. Amen. Be in your own backyard. Be right in front of your house. Amen. You can be a light for their neighbor. You can be a light for that, for your friend at school. You can be a light for your coworker. Amen. And you can win somebody through Christ, for Christ, amen, just by your life.
Amen.
Just by your life. Yeah? Sometimes you don't have to say anything to anybody. Let them see the trueness of what God has done in you. That speaks more than anything that you could ever say. Amen. That God does wonderful things. So, all hearts, minds clear, by the way. All right. So let's just have a word of prayer. As before we dismiss. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to serve you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, you're the one who allows, Father God, these trips and these things, Father. We know, Heavenly Father, that the people were truly blessed, and we were blessed, Father God, and so many wonderful people, Lord God, that we got to meet, and we just thank you, Father, for those experiences, Lord, and how Heavenly Father, they help mold us and shape us, Father. And And Father, we don't want to take them for granted, Lord. We don't want to take them lightly, Lord. And we just wanted to share a little bit, Father, of what you did, Father, in that trip. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. We ask you now that you would just continue to bless, be with, meet every need amongst us. And every person, Father God, that has a need upon their heart, Lord, you continue to meet that need. Lord, bless your people as we're heading ready to leave, Lord. May you just watch over us on the roads, keep us safe, bring us back safely on Wednesday, Lord God, and help us, Father God, to be ready to hear your word. We love you. We commit ourselves into your hands, thanking you, Father, once again for all your blessings. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's sing that song again, Send the Light, as we dismiss that first verse. There's a call.